Forbes editor who said, "What the heck are you doing? How are you just traveling and not working?" And I told him how much I made, and he was flabbergasted. He said, "How do you not work? Like, this doesn't make sense. You're making $500,000 a month and you're just traveling the world. You have no employees and you look like a bum." Like, it just, you know, and that's what made me famous. Yeah.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to six figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. As always, I'm bringing you guys another awesome guest. And today, I'm bringing you a guest that I know more than a lot of our guests. So today, we're chatting with Mr. John Cristani, who, as you guys know, I've got my podcast agency on the side. And John is actually one of our clients in an agency. We started working with him back in, I think it was like April, May of this year. Yeah. And yeah, we've been, you know, obviously working with John, but also learning a ton from John at the same time. And he's coming on the podcast today to tell you guys about his journey from, you know, working 9-to-5 corporate job, starting an agency, getting into affiliate marketing, scaling that to crazy heights that you guys are going to hear about in this episode. So welcome to the podcast, John.
Dude, happy to be here. Always happy to be working together with you. And yep, hopefully I can add some value about how I was able to quit my job and start earning, you know, six figures a month, you know, to where I am currently. So definitely.
Yeah, we're going to dive into that for sure. But, you know, I've had this personally, a story that I've wanted to hear, because working with you closer, I know you like some of these tidbits, so we're helping get you on other podcasts and stuff. And then there's this story about like this trip you took to, I think it was Morocco, and how that kind of like really, I think, put your business maybe in motion to another level than it was before. So can you kind of take us like what led up to this trip in Morocco, and like what happened on that trip that kind of catapulted things for you?
You mean when I decided to become an entrepreneur, or when So, I mean, what led up to that trip? Yeah. So what led up to that trip was I was in college and I was very disillusioned with the path that I was on. And I saw the writing on the wall, and the writing on the wall was, even with a college degree, you had to suck up to the people in your fraternity, to the dads in your, you know, that were dads of people in your fraternity. You had to suck up to your teachers. You had to suck up all across the board, and you would still end up with a job that was just bare basic, and you would be expected to pay your dues for 5 to 10 years in the corporate world until you would finally get to that place where you're a little more financially comfortable. And even then, my job would be based on kissing butt. And the five, you know, and all during my 20s, I was basically going to have spent just kissing butt and not learning skills. And for me, I didn't want to base my life on this system. So I decided to kind of figure out what I wanted in life. Because I wanted to go. I wanted to be financially free. And I realized fairly early on that, you know, this entrepreneurship was enticing to me, but I didn't believe that regular people could actually just be an entrepreneur. I thought it was something where you had to have worked a job for a long time and it just kind of happened to you, or a, you know, something like that. And I wanted to figure out my life, and I went on a trip to Thailand, actually. And one of the books I brought along was, I brought along business books. I brought along spirituality books. And it was on that trip that I realized, okay, the entrepreneurship path is the path for me. I don't want to be defined by the box. And that specifically being an internet entrepreneur was going to allow me the freedom to live the life that I wanted, which was adventures and traveling and family and friends and extreme sports.
Now, in like extreme sports, I don't want to get too far off topic here, but what kind of stuff are you into?
Oh, I could go on for days about kite surfing. I love kite surfing. Just, it's the most free sport. I love skiing. It's just when you're on the edge of these majestic mountains and just bombing down them, it is, you're in touch with, source, or, I feel like I'm in touch with, the earth or whatever it is, but I love it. And that's what fuels me.
That's awesome. And so you went to Thailand, you kind of discovered what it was you discovered at a high level. You knew you wanted to be an internet entrepreneur. Like that was the scope in which you had at that point. At what point was it in Thailand when you started building an actual business, and what was that around?
Yeah. So one of the key things I think I did is I took action immediately. Literally immediately after I read the book, after I made a decision. I mean, I've always been that way. And I started a business. I started a YouTube channel, and I started producing videos about being a digital nomad and traveling, and how to travel around the world for cheap, because I was living on about $300 a month, and people didn't believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people didn't believe you could, back in the States, they didn't believe you could. They thought going to other countries was more expensive than being in America. It's like, oh, you're going on a vacation. Yeah. But in reality, I had found a way to live very cheap, and it was a paradigm shift that wasn't taught by society. So I thought it would be valuable. And I post on Craigslist that I was American in Thailand, and I got people working for me for free, basically, as interns. And, I just said, be part of something really cool. So I wasn't even using any money. And I got some guys, I got a guy and an assistant to go around with me for a day from a local college who were interested in working with, American, an American and doing stuff.
And so they were like helping you film content and stuff like that?
100%. So they, they thought it was cool to, they didn't hang out with Americans or people from Los Angeles. So they thought it was cool. And for me, I got free work from some film students, and we shot a number of episodes of this. It didn't go anywhere. It's actually kind of embarrassing when I look at it, but I did it. And I wasn't afraid to put myself out there. And I think that's the main thing where, I see a lot of people ask me, how do I get started? Where do I start? And I say, just start. Doesn't matter.
Just start somewhere.
I'm embarrassed by the first things I did. They didn't make any money, but I kept my costs low and I moved forward. I didn't wait. I didn't wait more than a week.
Yeah. How many, before you had your first thing that was generating decent income, how many flops did you have before you had a hit?
Man, I'd say, it depends on how you, some of these things depend on how you, I'd say a dozen. Now, one of my first things that I started was I sold things on eBay. That was pretty, that was easy because I'm just selling stuff from my garage, from my friend's parents' garage. That's easy money, right? It's not scalable, but it was easy. And doing something easy money kind of got my confidence up because, I'd post something on eBay. I learned how to do that. And, I'm selling whatever, you know, an Xbox controller, you know, that a buddy left at my house. And, you know, maybe...
hey, John, did I leave my controller over here? Nope.
Yeah, maybe it's $5, $10 or whatever. You know, I'm selling, you know, some old, you know, like a moose head that, you know, or something. And $5 to $10, but it gets your confidence up. And what the first real, I'd say, scalable thing I did was I started a tutoring business. It wasn't super scalable, but I knew I had value to offer other college students. I went to a big college, lots of international students who spoke a lick of English. And I posted up flyers. I've posted up just these little flyers where they have little tabs at the bottom and tear them off. You know, they have my contact information. And nobody was tearing them. And I must have posted that dang flyer a dozen different times with a dozen different headlines. This is over the span of weeks, right? I'd go out every Tuesday and Thursday and post up a flyer with a different headline all around campus until I finally found a message that got people contacting me for my tutoring services. And so it took a dozen times. Most people give up after they fail once.
Yeah. No, and I think that's a super important message. It's like, you know, even on this podcast, like I almost feel like I do people a disservice because I immediately jump into like the business that they built that was successful. And I never talk about like the time, like how many times it took them to like get something off the ground. And even this instance here, right? You could have gave up after the first like three flyers that you posted that got
nobody wants it, right? I could have told myself, nobody wants this.
You know, when you were describing that, it immediately made me think about like split testing landing pages and stuff like that, which is a lot about what you're doing now, right? So this was like the caveman's split test of a landing page, right?
Yeah, but what's exciting about in raw physical advertising was I would sit on the bench. I would put up my flyers like around the business school, and then I'd go across the big, you know, whatever it was, promenade, and I'd sit on a bench and I'd just sit there and I'd watch people as they were coming in and out of class, right? Like that period, that 10-minute period where people are moving around, and I'd watch them look at my flyer and read it or move on, or I'd see how they interacted with it. I was just spying on them. And you can't do that as easily with internet advertising, but that trained in me, you know, and that repetition of just keep going out really trained in me kind of just to analyze my advertising and understand it from a human perspective. And I think people, when they're doing internet marketing, they don't get down to that human perspective of what are people feeling when they're looking at this? How interested, how engaged are, is it stopping them? Is it stopping them in their tracks?
Yeah.
And that's how I came, you know, I got good at writing headlines to get people to stop in their tracks. Literally. And be okay. I'm going to give this flyer a gander.
Nice. And how, like, give us an idea of the scale in which you got this tutoring business. How much money were you making doing this?
About 10, I had a couple months where I did over $10,000 a month. And nice. That was, you know, I was doing a number of different things, but, you know, I was also getting, I was putting up a lot of flyers and I'd really found my messaging and I'd been increasing my pricing as well during that time.
And then I know from there you got into, when you got out of school, right? You started working for a marketing agency. Is that correct?
Yeah, I had a hard time transitioning to running my own internet business. It's very hard. You know, it's very hard. It's very competitive when you're advertising on the internet and you're going up against a ton of marketers, right? So here I am, a little hustler. You know, I'm getting good split test and head, but the internet's full of a lot of little hustlers. So yeah, so I ended up working for a marketing agency. I figured that helped hone my skills even further, and I you know, and get paid, right? Get paid to learn spending other people's money on ads.
Yeah.
So I did that for 2 years or so, and I got really good. And most of the other employees, it was funny, they treated their job as just a way to clock in, collect a paycheck so they could, you know, hang out with their dog or their girlfriend or whatever. And that, you know, just watching the clock. Okay, get off, do the ads for the clients. Okay, peace. Whereas I was treating it like, I was like, I can't believe they're letting me do this. Like, I can't believe they're letting me spend the client's money on ads, and I can't believe they're paying me. You know, I thought it was so I was like, I can't get over, like, I snuck in. I thought I had, like, imposter syndrome. I was like, if they realize what they're doing, they're helping me, like, gain a skill set. They're putting me, I get to interact with people and, like, talk about advertising all day. This is crazy. So
did you have the mindset that this was, you were approaching this like, I'm going to learn my skill set and then I'm figuring this out on my
100%.
Own?
I said, I'm learning on the clock. Like, yeah, I'm building my skill set to become a multimillionaire. And I think a lot of people don't approach, you know, from what I've seen, you know, a lot of millennials or anybody, they approach their jobs as a drag as opposed to a game where they can learn and, you know, transcend.
Yeah.
People make up all sorts of excuses, you know, but yeah. Liberal.
what did you do when you pivoted out of the agency? Like, what was your first, like, I'm jumping into this. This is my first, like, real attempt at building a business here.
My first real attempt at building a business, I had gotten clients. So I'd been getting clients, and I got two clients, $10,000 to pay me $10,000 a month, retainer for my services. And both of those clients had committed to 3 months with me. So I was making $6,000 a month at my job, mind you. So now instantly I'm making $20,000 a month on the side. In addition to, I had some other clients, so I was making $25,000 a month on the side, and I told my boss I quit. And he, what's funny is he was so flabbergasted, and he had no idea why I was quitting. I never told him why. I just said, I'm moving on, and I left it very open to interpretation. He said, I'm going to continue paying you for the next 6 months your salary, just to sign some, like, documents that you're not going to steal any of my clients, and that you will continue, if the clients reach out to you, you will communicate with them. He wanted to safeguard, he didn't know what I was up to, so he wanted to safeguard himself. So I got an extra $6,000. I got my salary guaranteed. I only had to answer a couple emails, like five emails a week.
That's crazy.
It was crazy, but the universe conspires to help you out when you are supremely confident, you know where you're going, and you work hard. I really believe in that. Confidence and hard work. Confidence in yourself and hard work are the biggest keys to success, I believe. It's in the mind.
Yep. That's awesome. So are we up to the point yet where you go to Morocco and you take this trip?
No, I'd been to this. I'd started in Morocco. I'd started in Thailand. In Thailand, and I read that book, and I just.
When was the time where you went to? I thought it was Morocco. Maybe it is where the Forbes guy.
I went to Morocco in 2014 or 15, but that was that trip was when I got interviewed by a Forbes Forbes editor who said, "What the heck are you doing? You know, how are you just traveling and not working?" And, you know, and I told him how much I made, and he was flabbergasted. He said, "How do you're not work, like, this doesn't make sense. You're making $500,000 a month and you're just traveling the world. You have no employees. And, you know, you look like a bum," like, it just, you know, and
so to put this in perspective,
that's what made me famous. Yeah.
you guys can't see John, so he's pretty, now he's clean cut. He doesn't look like a bum. He's got a beard. He's got nice, clean haircut. But I've seen these pictures, and his beard was super long, scraggly. His hair was not as clean cut. And so that's why the guy was like, hold on, you make how much? You like you're lost here or something. So at that point, you had got into the affiliate marketing game, correct?
Yeah, so I had pivoted from running an agency, which was a little more like time intensive. And I had to like pitch clients, and I had to do, you know, all these sorts of meetings, to affiliate marketing, which allowed me, essentially I was working for clients on a performance basis. So nobody really cared about communicating with me as long as I was getting their business, more business, and they would give me a percentage of that. It was just very, very transparent, no need for communication, and allowed me to run my marketing campaigns on autopilot. So it was a slight shift in what I was doing. I was still placing ads for people, but I found a better business model to give me more leverage.
So let's kind of unpack exactly what you were doing there. So you're running campaigns for people for their products, and you're each sale, if I'm going to try to unpack it, for each sale that you get on that campaign that you're running, you're getting a percentage of that sale. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yep. So the traditional agency model is you place ads for a client, they spend their money. So let's say I have a client that spends $10,000 a month. They would then give me 15% management fee. Now this is, or usually, you know, I was charging, I guess the standard generally is $1,000 a month minimum, or 15% of spend, whichever is higher. And a client, you know, let's say a local pest control company in like Los Angeles, they might spend $10,000 a month advertising on Google to get leads to their business. They would pay me $1,500 for managing their ads that month in that case. What I transitioned to was saying, hey, Mr. Pest Control Company, instead of paying me, you know, to manage your ads, which, you know, and having to, and then you have to manage me, and then you have to say, oh, is he spending my money needlessly or not, or what is he saying? How about you just pay me every time somebody contacts you, and we'll figure out a fair rate? And the pest control company would say, well, we'll pay $100 every time somebody contacts us, because we know we close 1 in 3 people, and each job is worth $1,000 to us. So we come out ahead, you know. And so it put the risk on an agency side. What they're paying me for really is my time. Whereas in this model, they're paying me for results. And as long as I could deliver them, get people contacting their company for $100 or less, and I don't even need to spend money on ads, I could post up messages on Facebook, and you know, to people in Los Angeles that wrote like, anybody know a pest control company? I'd be like, hey, contact this guy, and I get $100, right? So I could, you know, control my margins a lot better, and I was able to scale.
Yeah. What do you think was the thing that allowed you to really scale that? Was it, I mean, like, cause you're one man, right? You didn't have, right. The whole thing is you don't have like a team, right. To help you build this business up. Like what allowed you to scale? I understand how the business model was scalable, but like, how do you think you really grew it to doing, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month without like bringing on this huge team? Was it like access to like leverage, like capital to like,
I got really good at split testing, copywriting, you know, writing lots of ads every day, analyzing the data. That's it. That's what marketing is. It's being able to write good ads, figure out a message that really hits home with your prospects, and then analyzing that data to figure out, you know, so you can assess what works best.
How'd you get that skill set? Like, were you inherently gifted with the ability to write good copy?
Exactly how I, like when I was in college, when I was posting up those flyers, really just trying out new headlines every day. And really it's implementation. You can look up, you know, you go to the news and there's a million headlines there. Some of them are more catchy than others. I would just rewrite those. You know, I would just fill in the blanks, and I'd find, you know, it's like liposuction in a bottle, you know, it's like a, you know, one for weight loss, or, you know, it's like a facelift without surgery, you know, and I'd say, you know, it's like, you know, it's like cheat, you know, I could say it's like cheating, but it's legal. You know, so if I'm selling, you know, if I'm selling tutoring, so saying it's like cheating, but it's legal is a lot more of a catchy headline than like, hey, tutor for hire.
Right.
So yeah. But it's about doing it. Anybody can go to the news and find a bunch of headlines, but it takes a more stubborn person to just keep testing them until they figure out, oh, what works and what doesn't. And you do enough tests, and you figure out what ads or headlines or images people react to and what makes people buy, and you start getting good. You start getting experience. It's just about taking action and doing it.
Repetition, right? Sounds like it's just about taking the reps, you know, getting better and better each time, being deliberate about those reps that you're taking, mm-hmm. stepping back, seeing what worked, what didn't work, trying to understand why it worked.
Exactly like working out. It's exactly like dating. You know, if you go to a bar and you dress like a clown and you go up to a girl and you say, hey, have you seen any clowns around here? Hey, how's it going? And you realize really quickly that doesn't work out. You know, you figure things out, because, you know, the pain of rejection or of not making money is hard, you know, is it cuts deep, and you want to get better. But the weak, unconfident people, they just run away. They just run away.
Yeah.
And go back to their job.
So you started scaling this business. Can you give us an idea of where's your business at now as far as like revenue and like what are your income sources?
Sure. So my business is on track to do about 7.5 million in top line revenues this year. Our income sources are, I have a about 50-50, 50% of my revenue is affiliate marketing related. 50% is related to a training product, which I sell, a 6-week course on how to be an affiliate marketer.
Nice. So you've got kind of two different income sources there to kind of hedge against any, you know, anything that could happen, right? You're not, if one dips, you're still going to have another one that's kind of pulling strong. I'm sure as the economy kind of ebbs and flows throughout the time, you know, diversifying those income sources really kind of comes in handy. Since you've kind of got into this game, has there been any big dips in the economy?
No.
No?
No.
Do you ever think about stuff like that?
Yeah. It's going to be great. I hope there's a big dip soon.
How do you plan on capitalizing? How do you plan on capitalizing on something like that?
Buying more real estate. I keep a lot of my money in cash so that I can buy stuff when the economy dips. And also when the economy dips, it's great for, frankly, it's great for the internet. People go to less TV, people go to less movies, people spend more time, you know, sitting on their computers or their mobile phones. So that'll be good for my business. And it'll also be good because, you know, I'm teaching people how to be affiliates. And if there are less jobs available, which there will be, there are always less jobs available. Jobs are going away. So it'll be good for my business because more people are looking for alternative ways that they can earn a living. So the economy dipping would be great for my business, actually.
That's interesting. I think that it probably terrifies a lot of people and probably makes people scared to jump into jump into, you know, creating an online business and doing kind of what you've done now is kind of that like fear of the unknown. But I think that's like, if you're always scared, like you're gonna, like you're never gonna do anything. You're always gonna be in like analysis paralysis mode, and you'll be the same place you are today 5 years from now.
100%.
Yeah. Cool, man. So with the course, Super Affiliate System, SAS? So I know you're working on a new version of that right now. Like, how are you helping people? Like, what does that course help people do in regards to like getting into affiliate marketing? Is it kind of like baseline, like just freshly understanding what affiliate marketing is, or do they need to have some previous experience?
So we continue to modify it every different version. This is going to be the fourth. This is going to be the fourth version, and there have been versions in between even. But how we help people is, you know, a big part is explaining the business model. For me, I've worked in this industry so many years, it comes naturally, just understanding how it works. But others need to be able to wrap their brain around it a little more. The other part is showing people how to place ads. Sorry, first thing, how to set up their website. So I show people how to set up a website, pre-sale pages, you know, a website that can market to people. Because you won't make it big in this industry unless you set up your own websites. And then the next part, third thing, is how to set up ads. So how to set up ads on, you know, email, you know, how to set up a, you know, email autoresponder, how to set up a YouTube ad, how to set up a Facebook ad, because a lot of people go on Facebook and they write posts, or they write status updates, you know, or where they update their friends on what they ate for lunch. But a lot of people there's a big disconnect when they're placing an ad. It's a little, you know, it's a little different than just posting. So I help people through that process. It's a little more technical. But then the fourth thing is I show people an ongoing process to what it means to be an affiliate marketer for when beyond they finish my 6-week course, which is essentially it's the two skills. It's copywriting. It's always writing new ads, writing new web pages to see what works best. And it's data analysis or optimization, whatever you want to call it. But that's figuring out, after you write those new ads, figuring out which ones work best and why.
Do you also help them figure out like what the hell to promote in the course and stuff like that as well?
Yes. So picking your niche, picking what you want to promote, picking all of that stuff is included. And that's just, what are you going to sell? Are you going to sell people weight loss products? Are you going to sell people life insurance? Are you going to sell people, you know, investments? Are you going to sell it? Because you're going to be selling people something. And, you know, no matter what business you're in, you're going to be selling something. Mm-hmm. Even if you're, you know, a support person, you know, doing customer service at AT&T, you're still selling yourself. You're selling, you know, a trust in what you're saying. You're selling customers happiness. You're selling satisfaction. You're always selling something.
Yeah. Who is the ideal person? So tons of different people are going to be listening to this at tons of different points in their journey to figuring out how to make more money on the side of their day job. So like, what type of person is ideal for getting into your program?
I believe the biggest things are, first off, you need to have some free time. You need to have a computer, all that, you know, basic stuff. But I believe the ideal person is, there has to be some sort of inner confidence that I am going to make this work. It's not a blame game. It's not, I didn't, you know, like, you know, it's not somebody looking for a step by step, like a button to push. It's not for somebody looking that, where's the button that I push and I just make money? Where's that secret? Somebody looking for a secret is not the person. Somebody looking for a magical money-making system is not the person, but somebody who has some sort of inner belief in themselves and understands that this is a business. It's a real business. It takes work. It takes learning skills. and they, you know, want to work from home, and they're excited by the prospect of learning and testing and writing and analyzing data, and is a great prospect. And a lot of people, you know, call this, you know, this marketing stuff, it's like a video game, you know? So, you know, I would even say people who like video games too, you know, like a video game, except instead of getting more gold coins, you're getting real gold.
Right. Coins.
Yeah.
Real coins. That's awesome, dude. And you talked about, briefly there, you said the word YouTube, and it just made me think about, like, you've had some crazy growth on your YouTube channel, you know, over, like when we first met back in like March, April, I think you had like 40,000 people subscribe to your YouTube channel. And I don't know what it is at now. Last time I looked, you had like, what is it? Like 160,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So like, what have you learned over this journey of going from like really zero, but like this kind of 40 to 150,000 subscribers on YouTube? Like, what's working on YouTube right now? Because what you did in Thailand obviously didn't work. So you learned something there on what not to do. So what's working in 2019 on YouTube?
I believe the best way to start on YouTube is teaching. And it's teaching everything you know. A lot of people, you know, one of the old school kind of marketing things was, you know, give them a little bit, you know, tell them some interesting stuff, but don't ever give them the whole story of like what it takes to be successful or how to do marketing. Don't give them your whole formula. Don't ever. Whereas on YouTube, it's about just offering as much value as possible and teaching people and just being real and genuine. And more and more so, people are turning to YouTube just, I think, to learn. I think people are realizing, you know, like I did, that the college is not gonna make you rich. Going to college is gonna make you poor, in fact. You know, like people are realizing going, you know, working a job is not gonna make you rich. So more and more, I think, you know, people are just turning to YouTube to learn, and I try to give them everything I can. I teach everything I can on YouTube, and I give a lot of value, and people like it.
How much content are you putting out? Is that daily content?
About 15 minutes a day. So yeah. So I do about a video a day.
Yeah. That's a ton of content that you're putting out on YouTube. It'd almost be hard to hold a lot of stuff back, but when you're putting out that much content, you have to lay a lot of value out there on the line. How has that impacted your business growing a YouTube channel like that? Have you seen that substantially add top line revenue from growing that following?
For my training course?
Yeah.
100%. So you'd think that if I'm teaching people for free on YouTube, that why would people pay me for my training course? But in fact, it's the exact opposite. The more value you give people for free, the more they want to reciprocate and either become a student or learn more. And yeah,
that's super cool, man. I know, like, I've been amazed that, like, every time I would pop over to your YouTube channel, it's like, well, 10,000 more, well, 10,000 more. And how do you produce all this content? So I know you're a super busy guy. So is there like a method to the madness on, because I don't think you're recording a single video every single day. So how do you approach like the content creation side?
I batch it. So every 2 months, I rent an Airbnb. I have two film people come out for 2 days. And I film 20 videos a day, and then another 20 videos the next day. And that's my content for the next 2 months.
That's awesome. And are the ideas and all that kind of stuff, do you have just like a spreadsheet that you're constantly like throwing stuff down on?
Yeah. So I'm creating, I'll go over the thing, but I'm creating an outline of, you know, I'll create an outline of 40 topics, and I'll bullet point, you know, I'll do about 5 to 10 bullet points per topic that I want to roughly hit for each video. And how I come up with the topics is I'm literally just looking at the 10 other YouTubers, or, you know, whatever, dozen other YouTubers in my niche. And my niche is, you know, making making money with the internet. So there's other YouTubers that are teaching in that arena. And I literally just, I look at the trending topics or the highest viewed topics that they've done. And I say, can I talk about this? Yes or no? And then I'll bullet point out how I want to talk about it. And I really don't get very creative. I just say, okay, this worked for somebody else. Okay, I'm going to kind of perform it myself and say it in my own words.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. I mean, that it, I know it sounds crazy. It's like, what if somebody's already done the topic, like, you know, people, yeah, that's the formula. that's the formula.
Yeah. It's often super simple. It's just about execution.
Yeah. Yeah. And people get all doubts and stuff. They're like, oh, that can't be so simple. You just do it. Yeah. Do it and prove me wrong.
Yeah. Just start pumping out content. That's awesome, dude. So, where can people find out more about you and the training course that you have out there?
Sure. So you can find out more about me. Just search my name, John Cristani, or go to my YouTube channel. Search John Cristani YouTube, whatever. And subscribe to me there and enable notifications. I do live streams and whatnot. And you can learn about, I teach methods to do affiliate marketing for free without spending any money on my YouTube channel. And then I teach kind of the more scalable, how to do paid ad sort of stuff within my training course. And there are links within my YouTube videos that will take you to my training course if you really want to become a student.
Cool, John. Well, I really appreciate your time today, man. Everything that John talked about below, his training course, anything we've mentioned will be linked down below in the show notes here on the podcast. So you can always check that out, or you can head over to gritandhustle.co. There'll be a blog post there. And obviously you can find all the links and stuff in that blog post also. John, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to sit here and chat with myself and the Hustle for Freedom audience. It's been awesome, man. I appreciate you sharing your journey.
Thank you so much. And I hope I've inspired somebody. And guys, let me know if you came from this podcast, just write a comment, you know, in the YouTube video that you watch, and just say, hey, I came here from the podcast. So love to hear from you.
Yep. Hear that, guys. Head over to YouTube, John Cristani, C-R-E-S-T-A-N-I. That's correct, right?
Yep. You got
that's
it.
That's it. Cool, man. Awesome, John. I appreciate it, dude. Talk soon.
Awesome.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.